Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. The title of the message this evening is The Excellency of the Power. The Excellency of the Power. Paul has been spending his time during the book of 2 Corinthians dealing with some opposition, some problems he was having when in the first few studies that we did, Paul was talking about some people that had spread the rumor that he had lied to the Corinthians because he said he was going to visit them and then he didn't. And then there were people that were attacking his call to be an apostle and saying that they were true teachers and he wasn't. And so people were constantly attacking him. So Paul is defending himself. And one of the things he has said in chapter 4 is he's compared himself to... He's comparing false ministry and true ministry, and he's laying out what true ministry is. And he says in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And so, this is true ministry. True ministry does not do the things that the false ministers do. True ministers do not walk in craftiness or handle the Word of God deceitfully. And so, and true ministers manifest the truth. So as we come down into verse 7, Paul has talked about the knowledge of Christ. And as we come down to verse 7, he says a few things about that, and so we're going to look at that now. The title of the message is The Excellency of the Power, and we'll pray, and then we'll begin with verse 7. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in this service. We do pray now that you would forgive us for our sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save them, and I pray that you would give us truths that we need and help us to carry these things out. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. So the first thing that we see, starting in verse 7, is treasure. Treasure. And the Word of God says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us." Again, Paul is showing that a true minister depends on God and not on themselves. The false teachers were getting letters of recommendation, and they were saying, "Paul doesn't carry letters of recommendation." And Paul said, "I don't need letters of recommendation because the people that I've won to Christ and discipled are my letters of recommendation." And so, again, he's showing that a true minister knows where his power comes from. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, this treasure, Robertson says, it is the power of giving the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God. And he gets that from verse 6. Because if we go back to verse 6, the Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So then when you go into verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." What treasure? The treasure spoken of in verse 6. In verse 6, the illumination of has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So that's the treasure that we have. We have this treasure. And the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, earthen vessels basically were clay jars. And that is what we have the treasure in. So he's saying we have this wonderful treasure. We have the knowledge of the glory of God. We have the ability to shine that light and to spread that knowledge. But we have that knowledge inside our human bodies. And he says that we're like earthen vessels, like clay jars. And so he's contrasting this wonderful light and knowledge of Christ to ourselves. And compared to it, we're like clay jars. And so you have something very beautiful and something very plain, something very glorious and something that can be broken. And so you have these two things. Now, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So why does God put this treasure? Why does God put the knowledge of God? Why does God put this treasure inside of human beings? Why does he not spread the gospel some other way? Why does he put it inside human beings? And the reason is very simple, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why. And so the gospel is carried by flawed human beings. The knowledge of God is spread by people who have problems and issues, because through doing that, God is able to get the glory when people get saved and when the gospel is spread. So don't ever feel like that because, you know, you have an issue of some kind that you can't spread the gospel. Now, obviously, you ought to live right. But beside that, you know, if you're a timid person, or if you talk too much, or whatever your issue is, you still spread the gospel, because it's not you that is going to get the glory. The excellency of the power is not in you. The excellency of the power is of God, not of us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Life Application Study Bible says the supremely valuable message of salvation in Jesus Christ has been entrusted by God to frail and fallible human beings. Paul's focus, however, was not on the perishable container, but on its priceless contents, God's power dwelling in us. So that is the treasure, the treasure. But then we see trouble. Trouble. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So the Bible tells us that we have a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But then, though we have this treasure, we're going to have trouble in our lives. And Paul certainly had a lot of trouble. When he says all these things, he was telling about stuff that had happened to him. We are troubled on every side. He had faced, Paul said he faced perils from his own countrymen, perils from the Jews, perils from the Romans. He faced trouble on every side. And he knew what it was to be hemmed in to where he's got surrounded by trouble. Yet he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now why? Because he knew the treasure he had. He had Christ. He had the knowledge of God. And he'd been called by God. And he'd been placed in the ministry by Jesus Christ. And therefore, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul was the kind of person that would have been hunkered down with the army. During World War I, they dug those trenches. And sometimes I've been watching documentaries, sometimes they would dig little bunkers and cities underneath the trenches. And so Paul would be the kind of person that would be down in the trench when the bombs were falling. and would say, it's no problem. It's no problem. We got God. No problem. And that's the way he was. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now you may think, well, are you serious about that? Would Paul really do that? Well, think about how he was when he was on a ship that was going to sink. If you were on a ship that was going to sink, you'd probably be nervous. I certainly would. But Paul said, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. And he said, we're going to be okay. God told me we were going to be okay. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It's interesting that Paul had persecuted Christians before he got saved. Then he became a Christian and he was persecuted. And that's what happened. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Every person here has the treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The gospel. We have the way of salvation. And every person here will face trouble. But because we are Christians, because we have this treasure, because we are believers in Jesus Christ, then we can face trouble, being persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, knocked down but not knocked out. And so we have treasure, then we have trouble, then we see triumph. Now, where was Paul's triumph? Look at what he says in verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. Now, Paul's triumph. Paul, when he says always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, a lot of people like to spiritualize this. For instance, Paul said, I die daily. And then he talked about fighting with beasts at Ephesus. Some people like to spiritualize this and say, well, he's talking about crucifying the flesh. Well, that's a good thing to do. It's certainly something that Jesus commanded, take up your cross daily, and we follow him, and we should crucify the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. When he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, he's talking about the fact that he was constantly being persecuted. His life was constantly in danger. That's what he meant when he said, I die daily. I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. He's saying, my life's in danger. I'm facing death all the time. And so he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So what was Paul's triumph? It was that when he was facing death, when he was being persecuted, when he was having all this trouble, that the life of Jesus Christ was manifest in his body. That's a wonderful thing. And he'd already compared himself and other believers to jars of clay. We're like jars of clay, but yet this treasure is in an earthen vessel, in a clay jar. And so, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You see how he's talking about facing physical death? That's what he's talking about there. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So he was constantly facing threats on his life, facing death, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul realized that he was mortal. He realized that he could die, that something could happen. What he did was dangerous work, taking the gospel to all these different places. And yet, he says, this is happening to me that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And the same thing applies to us. When we go through trouble, when we go through persecution, it is a time to let the life of Jesus be manifested. It is a time to show people what Christians should do and how Christians should act. And a lot of times, we Christians act like lost people when there's trouble. something happens and we say, woe is me, what's going to happen to me now? I remember years ago when I lost my job and, I'd laid myself off and we closed everything down. And it was a scary time because you didn't know what was going to happen next. Middle of the recession. Terrible time for a lot of people. And you didn't know what was going to happen next. And I had never, from the time that I was a child until then, been without my father's business. Never. I didn't know what it was. To me, that company represented my father and my mother. They had both put their lives in it. And I'd grown up around it. I'd grown up as part of it. And when you're sitting on the precipice of losing everything, I'd already lost my father. He'd passed away. My mother passed away years before, had no more family in this area. And you're facing losing everything you've known. And it just all goes away. I remember God gave me a song before that happened. And one of the things that the song says is that you will find me. It was like God was talking. And it said, you will find me at the point of your breaking. And it really did happen that when everything broke and fell apart, there was God on the other side. And God will be there for you at the point when you break, at the point when things you think can't get any worse, then there's hope on the other side. And what we have to do is to be sure as believers that we have faith in God and that we manifest, that the life of Jesus is manifested in our mortal flesh. And that's what should happen when things go wrong. And so Paul says, then death works in us, but life in you. Now Paul rejoiced in the fact that even though death was working in him, the Corinthians were getting life because he was going through struggles. He was going through struggles and he preached the word to them and preached hope to them and he wrote letters to them, so they were experiencing life working in them while death was working in Paul. Then death worketh in us. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And that's some really great faith there. That your concern when you're going through, Paul was going through a lot of hardships and his concern was that the Corinthians, who not all of them treated him nicely, they weren't all nice people. All right, but his concern was that Christ would work in their lives and that he would be manifested in them and that Christ, the life of Christ would be manifested in Paul so that they could see Christ in Paul so that they could get help. And that's what he was interested in. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And so this Christmas season, and as we begin to get into our Christmas messages next week, let us be thinking this week about how we can manifest the life of Christ, how we can share Christ. There are a lot of people around Christmas season that are depressed. There are a lot of people going through problems. There are a lot of people that don't have a church. There are people that don't have family, and they need some hope. And you may be the person to give them hope this Christmas. So let's be sure that we manifest Jesus Christ in our lives to others this Christmas. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work that you're doing in this place. I do pray you would help us this Christmas to manifest Jesus Christ and to share the gospel, this treasure, the knowledge of God. And I pray that you would help us to share that and to see people come to church, and more importantly, to come to know you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. For we ask it In the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.